What is up, guys? Welcome to Creeps in the Crypt. As always, I am Eric, and I am joined by...
Christian.
And Sam.
So, we have to finish up on the death of two children this week.
Wow. You really you're gonna intro like that?
Yeah, that's how I'm introing this one.
It's all sunshines and rainbows over here.
Well, before we get into the heavy shit, how was your all's Valentine's Day?
I worked.
You worked?
I took money from men.
That doesn't sound like a bad thing.
Did you work the amateur night? Did you do the amateur night or something, taking money from men like that?
No, I bartended at work.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And I take my clothes off. I'm more clothed as I'm bartending at work than I am when I'm hosting the show.
Huh. Look at that.
You'd think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, you would think.
I just have my charm when I'm bartending.
There you go. Well, and you're slinging drinks, which definitely
there were a lot
helps.
Of drunk people at work yesterday. A lot of drunk people. Most people Ubered.
Mm. I mean, it was Valentine's Day, you know? Get wild.
I meant to get myself flowers and crab rangoons yesterday, but I forgot.
Was it National Crab Rangoon Day?
Yes, on Monday.
So the 13th.
Yeah.
Well, intern Lucy was getting spayed that day, so nobody got any crab rangoons.
Want some crab rangoons.
Dude, I miss crab rangoons. We went to the Chinese buffet last week, and...
All Eric got was the hibachi, because he's on the carnivore diet, is the hibachi.
Yeah, I'm
and
doing...
No other things.
I'm doing carnivore and no alcohol for the month of February, and let me tell you... the no alcohol thing was great until about Thursday. So about a week and a half in, I'm just like sitting here not doing shit, but like watching TV. I'm like, I could really drink a bourbon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the full bar is still out in the kitchen. It's not like I have it put away.
It's just there laughing at you.
Yeah, it's
drink
just,
me, drink me.
Yeah.
How do you think I feel on Sundays? That's my Sunday fun day.
I miss Sunday fun days.
I have such a great routine. I get drunk till about like noon, take a nap around 3,
Hell
and then
yeah.
a 2-hour power nap. I wake up at 5, and I've already planned out dinner before I even got drunk, so I don't even have to leave the house.
Hell yeah.
And it's usually involving a 2-hour nap with my cats.
Love it.
And then I wake up and make another drink and make dinner, and then Eric gets home, and then... continue on and go to bed probably around like 7:30.
I love that. That's like the best day ever.
Yeah. That.
But now I don't know what to do with myself because I can't do that right now. Like, there's only so much laundry and random cleaning that I can do, and there's only so many shows I can watch that don't involve drinking.
And I'm just torturing myself by watching fucking Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And moonshiners.
He's just over here whipping himself.
I'm just flailing myself.
You're one for torture, huh?
Yeah.
He is.
I guess it's just my personality. I don't know.
It is.
It's just who I am.
Yeah. I need to just abuse myself in other ways. If I can't, like, abuse my body with shitty food and... alcohol, it's just I'm gonna just torture my eyes
mentally.
Yeah,
mental abuse.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, I don't think we have enough long enough episode that we can unpack that. So let's
get into
it.
Still waiting for that sponsorship from BetterHelp. Still waiting.
I got a lot of shit to unpack.
Yeah, anytime we get some sponsorship money from BetterHelp, I can go see some therapy. But until then, I guess we just have to.
We have to be his therapist.
Yeah. I will cope with research.
Dive into these crazy ass episodes.
Murder.
So without further ado, Sam, let's continue Delphi in the conclusion.
So we left off with the Indy Star telling us, well, not us personally. The Indy Star reporting that Delphi PD had received well over 40,000 tips, and they're working on thousands of potential leads. And then there was that car in the CPS building the day the girls disappeared, which put a pin in that because we're going to talk about that in this episode as well. But these two murders absolutely just rocked the small town of Delphi. A lot of the residents came out to show support for Abby and Libby's families and for the investigators working tirelessly to solve these murders. Local businesses and even athletes had donated to the reward fund, which it started out, I believe it like maybe like a few thousand, maybe a double digit thousand number. But with the athletes and other local businesses, they reached $240,000 reward by early 2018. On the 3-year anniversary, Kelsey German, that is Libby's sister.
Yep.
I always get them mixed up because Abby, Libby. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Libby's sister. She posted
It definitely is.
Yeah. She posted on Twitter, quote, "Today, 3 years ago, was my last real day with my best friend, and I wish I would have done it differently. I miss you." On the 5-year anniversary of the murders, Superintendent Doug Carter was on Good Morning America, and he said, quote, "My resolve to catch him is as strong now as it was day one. The only difference between now and day one is we know about you, a lot about you. Today could be the day. Sleep well." When I read that, I was like, ooh, and all tingly inside.
Oh, shit. Well, I mean, they worked diligently around the clock to do this. Literally,
this is, dare I say, the best police investigation that I've come across.
Yeah, normally they bungle the shit, but this PD, they did very well.
They're hitting the trifecta, man. They have the Delphi PD, Carroll County Sheriff, and the FBI.
Well, I wouldn't give the FBI too much credence.
Well, the Indiana FBI. Whatever chapter, charter, what the fuck ever, I don't know.
Thing.
Yeah. That part. I don't know. They have ISP too. So they have all those. But this is the best police investigation ever, I think. Dare I say it? I might mean it. We might come across a better one, but for now, this one takes the cake. So, a softball park, because Abby and Libby both played softball, is in the works to be built in the girls' name. They've been getting ready for the spring softball practices, and I guess like conditioning and all the other stuff, at the time of their murder. For a time, regular white porch lights were replaced with orange bulbs to, quote, light up Delphi as a way to remember Abby and Libby. And their plan is to keep the orange bulbs until the case is solved, which I thought was nice. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna get into the updates now, like the breaking updates.
Yeah, we've covered when the case was cold. It's about to get real fucking hot.
Technically, it never got cold, so it never stopped.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. In my eyes, if there's no progress being made.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like if it's pronounced cold, they just kind of like pack it up and put it away. It never got packed up. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, one of the first major breaks with Libby's Instagram, I believe. I'm pretty sure. Or her Snapchat or something. They found this account, Anthony_shots.
That was Instagram.
That was Instagram? Okay. Yeah. I know they talked on both, but I don't remember which one it was originally found on. That was the
Instagram account.
Okay. It didn't, like, specify. It just mentioned them both. So, the Anthony_shots account ended up being linked back to a man named Keegan Klein. He was accused of child exploitation and...
Let me put it this way. None of his photos look like the photos on the Instagram account.
So he just, like, stole them?
No. He's a fucking catfish, dude.
Yeah. He's a big old catfish.
So, and he's looking for young girls to go noodling with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a catfishing joke.
I know what you meant.
Sam got it. Christian looked disgusted.
So, Keegan was accused of child exploitation and child pornography. It makes me feel icky saying those words together. I don't like the feeling I get.
Mm.
There's people that are like that. There's a lot of them that are like that.
I know. It just makes me feel icky when I say those words together.
I understand.
Okay. So, there's this podcast called the Murder Sheet Podcast. And I'm pretty sure how you pronounce one of the hosts' name is Anya. And if I said it wrong, I'm sorry, that but don't tell right. me. I'm pretty sure. I YouTubed it, how to say this name. I think it's like the Irish spelling, maybe. I think that's what it said. I don't really remember.
That's very professional of you.
Thank you. I do what I can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not a lot, but I do what I can.
There you go.
So, Anya said, quote, Libby was apparently enthralled by this profile. They'd interacted on Instagram. She wanted to meet up with him. She was potentially being catfished by this person, which turns out, obviously, who, of course, looked nothing like and was nothing like this guy portrayed online. So on the Anthony_shots account, it was like this ripped dude with like peach blonde hair and like a mohawk. And who Keegan Klein actually is.
Is very opposite from this model who you stole the photos from.
Yeah.
It is like your stereotypical catfish situation.
Yeah, like lives in his mom's basement waiting for the fish sticks to be
fucking
done.
Spurg Lord.
Like, what the fuck is that? I don't know what that means.
A basement dweller.
Oh. Then yes. He looks That's like a just fucking like cringy cage troll.
Shit. Is he losing his hair?
The man.
I don't think.
No.
No, I don't. I think he does have a. I'll give him that. I'm pretty sure he does have a full head of hair.
Well, at least he's got something.
He's got just that.
I'm always looking for the positive in things.
It's just the little ones.
There's not a lot of positive.
That's probably literally it.
Let me have that little.
I'll give you that one.
That one's good. The rest of it's awful. The rest of it.
The dude probably eats billy goats underneath a bridge. Let's just put
that. Billy goats gruff.
Stop it. He does not eat billy goats.
He's a bridge troll.
No. You unlocked a childhood memory I forgot that I had.
Sam's going to go home and buy that damn book on Amazon.
I might buy Billy Goats Gruff because I used to love that book.
Same.
Little coffee table reader for you.
Yeah, maybe drink her tea.
I might. Never know. So anyway, so this Anthony_shots/ Keegan Klein, he was the last person to talk to Libby before she was murdered. The account made plans with Libby to meet up with her the day that her and Abby were murdered.
Mm. Suspicious.
Which it turned out later on that it was Keegan and his dad both running, or at least they both had access to this account.
Disgusting. Ooh. Just another way of being disgusting.
So your dad's in on it too.
At least on some level. They can't prove who was talking to Libby at the time. The FBI had an encounter with Keegan Klein back in 2017 in Peru, Indiana. And they found this Snapchat account, by the name of Anthony_Shots as well, where he would solicit female minors. At the time of this update, Keegan's voice was not ruled out as being the voice on the video saying, "Guys, down the hill." His voice was not excluded at the time of that update.
Well, I mean, we heard the clip.
Yeah.
It's really garbled.
Yeah.
So, I could see that. I mean, that's...
I'm sure they have better clips to compare.
Well, I mean, the police have a full, what, minute?
43 seconds, yeah.
So, we only heard a 5-second
No, I don't snippet. Even think that was even 5 seconds. A Crime Online article from last May, so May 2022, I came across during one of my deep dives, said that the podcast The Murder Sheet, which is really freaking good, by the way, they got these court documents that says investigators think that the bodies of Abby and Libby were staged and moved around at the crime scene, likely for some form of gratification. Director of Atlanta's Cold Case Research Institute and an Atlanta metro area CSI, Sherry McCollum, said, quote, "There is a difference between a scene that is staged and a scene that is posed." So I'm assuming what she means by between, like, there's a difference between staged and posed is, like, it's staged to look like something else, and posed is, like...
Well, you see more posed crime scenes with, like, serial killers.
Yeah. But staged is, like, when you want it to look like something it's not.
So they wanted it to look like a, let's just say, potentially a rape.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's what she means. I only saw that one blurb and there was no clarification on it. So
on her statement?
Yeah. There was no like follow-up or anything like that. It wasn't like a video, like a press conference. It was just that one blurb in a Crime Online article. But I think that's what she means by that is...
Well, if any of our true crime sleuths that listen to the show know the difference, let us know.
Yeah.
Because that one's lost on me.
I think that's the only thing I can deduce from what she said.
Posing the bodies is definitely more of like a serial killer MO. It's like a shot. You want to create as much shock factor as you can.
Yeah, and they're saying that they think the bodies were staged. To send some sort of message, maybe? I don't know. We know nothing about this crime scene.
Well, the stage of crime scene, it's like you fake the crime. Like, you make the crime look like something. Yeah, it's. You make it look like something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, when I think of, like, posing, it's like a doll. Like, you sit it up and make it what you want it to be.
Well, like, it's that, like, and to deliver as much shock factor and psychological trauma to the people that discover the bodies as much as possible. Which I mean, if they made it look like a fucking rape scene, that'll fucking do it. So,
yeah, that'll do, donkey. That'll do.
Jesus Christ.
I say that way too much, honestly.
If you're not quoting Shrek quotes.
Well, donkey. At least you're not saying, "Get out of my swamp." Kind of like Keegan would, because he's an ogre.
He's a fucking ogre. He's so gross. I got the ick just looking at his photos. Have you seen a picture of him?
Oh, yeah. He's a greasy, gross-looking dude.
Yeah, it looks like he showers about once every quarter.
They probably have to give him a bath in a pig trough out back.
Ew.
He's just freaking funky. Jabba the Hutt.
He's just funky.
He looks funky. Like that dude on My 600-Pound Life.
He looks like he smells like stale cheese.
Why do you have to bring that up? I just had cheese tonight.
Sorry. But I'm not wrong. An like agent.
Blue cheese.
I think blue cheese would smell better than him.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I don't like blue. You don't like blue cheese.
Mm.
I don't like that.
That's a shame. It's delicious.
What? Ew.
How do you not like blue cheese? Blue cheese is, like, delicious. It's got the funk. Oh, Sam doesn't like the funk.
I don't like the funk. I'm not down with the funk.
She can't get down with the funk. She definitely can't get down with this funk.
No. Anyway, so an agent wrote in this, one of the documents that the murder sheet got their hands on. It says, quote, a large amount of blood was lost by the victim at the crime scene. Because of the nature of the victim's wounds, it is nearly certain that the perpetrator of the crime would have gotten blood on his person slash clothing. Which, this backs up my theory, sort of, on why the crime scene photos and autopsies and COD, TOD has never been released. Mm. I can put a pin in that if we want.
Well, you know, I find it hard to think that the photos never got leaked. There's been so many, like, leakings of crime scenes. Because, God, I've tried. I have scoured the fucking internet.
I know.
They have kept this under lock and key.
I have never seen a crime scene. They must have never even uploaded them to, like, whatever server.
No.
It's probably still on the SD cards and shit. I don't know. I don't know how or where they have stored these photos that no one has gotten their hands on it.
I've tried.
Which makes me think, I mean, we can get into this right now or we can do it later.
We can do it now.
Okay. This makes me think that this crime scene is just absolutely brutal. They've used the word brutal before. They've used it. So it's either so fucking traumatizing that they can't have be any pictures, or there is, okay, kind of follow me on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to leave breadcrumbs. So I'm going to reference, like, let's just say Criminal Minds. When they're doing, they just come across this horrific crime scene. There's, like, telltale that there is, like, some sort of message being portrayed. Like, there's a message left, kind of like, not exactly like the Helter Skelter and, like, Charlie Manson and all that, but, like, some sort of,
that would be a stage crime scene.
Calling card, I guess? I don't really, they call it a calling card. I'm not really sure if it's the correct term for it.
Well, a calling card would be something that you would see over and over again in different murders.
Okay,
that's more of like a serial killer thing.
So maybe like there's something so specific about this crime scene that they can't even leak the pictures or the cause or the time because it is so specific to whoever did it that no one other than the killer will know what was actually there and what actually happened.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like I just have this, like, picture in my brain, and I'm not really sure if I can convey it into words. But, like, there's only one of the two things.
I wonder if they were butchered.
There's maybe. That quote said they lost a lot of blood.
I wonder if they were just hacked into fucking pieces.
Like Black Dahlia style?
Yeah.
But, we've already seen that. So, I mean, granted, it's also children. But
yeah, well, Black Dahlia was vivisected.
Yeah.
I'm talking like full on fucking.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, like arms and limbs and shit just everywhere.
I don't know. But there's something that has to be either so traumatizing that they can't even upload the photos. Or there's something so specific. Well,
the photos are going to come out when this goes to trial. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's gonna be interesting.
I mean, but I doubt that they're gonna allow. I mean, they're obviously gonna have to. I mean, maybe not have to, but there's a good chance that they're gonna allow the media in there.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know how they're gonna get a hold of the crime scene photos, not just taking pictures of the pictures or something. I don't know. I am very curious, morbidly curious, but still curious to see.
Yeah, because, I mean, I got the crime scene photos from the Girl Scout murders. Now, I wonder if somebody will file a Freedom of Information Act.
That still has to be. We have another, like, couple years left on that, though, before.
Yeah, I mean, eventually it'll come out.
It's I think it's been, like, 7 to 10 years, right?
Yeah. For some stuff, yeah.
But, like, this is still an ongoing case, and you can't do it until it's closed.
No, exactly. So, there's that. But let's continue.
So, the exact murder weapon. So, the murder sheet calls this a warrant. But I'm not sure what kind of warrant it is. I'm just quoting them.
Gotcha.
From their, our source material, whatever source material they used. So this document's a warrant of some sort. As the exact murder weapon has been redacted in this document. We'll just call it a document because I don't know what kind of, it doesn't specify what kind of warrant it was. Forensics expert and host of Body Bags, Joseph Scott Morgan, told Nancy Grace that the killer likely used an edged weapon. So, like, a knife, right?
Yeah.
It's an edged weapon. Okay.
Machete.
Yeah.
Knife. Hatchet.
Axe. Whichever. Well,
it would be something concealable. Because...
I mean, he was... This.
If it was the bridge guy...
Yeah.
Which we think it is...
Right.
It would have to be concealed on his person. You would see him holding an axe. Hatchet, you might be able to get away with.
Maybe. It's just a smaller axe, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's something you can put in your jacket.
Yeah. I don't really know how much the size difference between an axe and a hatchet is. Oh,
it's a lot.
Oh, axe okay. is like an axe.
Is the hatchet just like a pocket-sized...
Axe. Yeah, basically. It's like... Oh, okay. Yeah.
You use it for, like, camping and shit like that.
Okay. He says, quote, "My money is on an edged weapon. You're not necessarily going to get that so much with a blunt type of weapon." I'm assuming he's referring to the quote from earlier when there's a lot of blood loss at the scene.
Yeah. Well, people have seen these... Like, investigators have seen these photos.
It says, multiple deep... stab wounds. So
well, it's definitely not a machete, so it's got to be a knife.
It's a definitely dagger, maybe. Well, that's a double edged, so yeah, it would have to be a single.
It's a could be. Yeah, it's got to be a knife, like a utility knife, maybe. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Big fucking knife, probably.
But wouldn't that be a machete?
No,
that's not a big fucking knife.
Machete's more like almost like a. Single-edged sword.
Oh.
It's big. It's like that.
Jesus.
So it's like a foot to 2 foot
the
long.
The only thing I can think of
the
is...
The blade is?
Yeah. They use it to hack down fucking machete. Trees and limbs and shit.
That's fair.
You've never seen Friday the 13th?
Well, yeah.
That's the machete, what he's using to fucking lop teenagers' heads off.
Fun times. Also, according to this document, the girls didn't have any defensive wounds on them. However, some articles of clothing were taken from them and were not found, like, taken off of them, and were not found at the scene.
Nasty.
So this fucker, like, took trophies.
It could be a serial killer that...
I don't think so.
Could be a first-timer. Who knows? I mean, the cooldown periods for every serial killer are different. This could have been his first kill, and he could go years without... I mean, Dahmer went years without killing another person.
Yeah, Gacy did too, didn't he? He went like 9 years or something like that.
So, once that itch will get fired up again.
Yeah.
So it could just be a first kill.
Who knows, man? So... this brings us to our next part. The part that Delphi and myself and a lot of other people, maybe not a lot, probably a lot.
A lot.
Of other people have been waiting for since 2018 when the Anthony shots and all this came out.
Lucky me. I didn't have to wait for anything.
We have a break in the motherfucking case. Here we go.
Yeah, this is like recent.
Ah, October 31st, 2022. Last October, last Halloween, the greatest day ever. The entire town of Delphi took one huge exhale because an arrest was finally made in connection to the murders of Abby and Libby. 50-year-old Richard M. Allen was arrested for the double homicide. He's lived in Delphi for over 15 years, which goes along with the FBI's profile that he's from Delphi. He lives in Delphi. He's a pharmacy technician at the local CVS, which is 8 minutes from the Monon High Bridge, where they were murdered. What's crazy is that there was no reason for the police to suspect him. From everything I've heard and read, Richard Allen wasn't even on their list of suspects. Not a blip on their radar. They had no reason. They're like, eh.
Well, I wonder what
pointed them off. Would they interview every person that lived in Delphi?
But wait, I'm getting back to that.
All right.
We'll just put a pin in that. So I'm going to back it up to October 13th, 2022.
That's my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Because Richard told police when they interviewed him that he saw juvenile girls on the trails east of the Freedom Bridge that he went to. So the Freedom Bridge, I'm gonna geographically do that in a second. He was east of the Freedom Bridge and said that he went onto the Monon High Bridge after. 2.5 weeks before the arrest, so around the same time, he was brought in for questioning. Richard's home was searched by the police. In his home, they found a Sig Sauer model P226 40 caliber pistol, which is, I did get my hands on the probable cause affidavit for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then October 28th, Richard Allen was officially brought into custody and arrested on the 31st.
Well, if they were stabbed, were they shot also?
I have no idea, but we're going to get to that.
Okay.
So Richard planned on hiring a private defense attorney at first, but it turns out that he couldn't afford one.
Oh, he's got a public defender. He's good as fucked.
But it turns out... Yeah, so he begged in a handwritten note to the court for one. It said, quote, "I, Richard M. Allen, hereby throw myself at the mercy of the court. I am begging to be provided with legal assistance." I'm sorry, I almost said counsel. "Legal assistance and a public defender or whatever help is available. At my initial hearing on October 28th, 2022, I asked to find representation for myself. However, at the time, I had no clue how expensive it would be." Honestly, I would just price gouge the fuck out of this dude.
Well, innocent until proven guilty, dude.
Yeah, but... okay, goes on to say, "I also did not realize what my wife... and I's immediate financial situation was going to be. Turns out they both were forced to quit their jobs after he was arrested." The letter continues with, "We have both been forced to immediately abandon employment, myself due to incarceration, and my wife for her personal safety. She has had to abandon our house for her own safety. What little reserve there is will fail to even maintain the original residence. Again, I throw myself at the mercy of the court. Please provide me with whatever assistance you may."
I hope this is the guy, because if not, his life has been fucking ruined.
Yeah, but there's more. So, apparently, old Dickie told ISP that he was in the area shortly after the news broke out about the girls' murders. He was like, "Yeah, I was hiking the trails that day, but I didn't see the girls." And his statement had gotten lost somehow until ISP asked Indiana State Police, asked another team of detectives to look over the case files. So I get they're not perfect. It's fine. I forgive them.
So they probably questioned everybody in the fucking town. No,
they did question Richard Allen in the beginning, but his, not testimony or affidavit, his,
statement.
Yeah, thank you. Got lost. They lost his fucking statement from the initial interviews. Fucking lost it. Could you imagine? Anyway, I forgive them, sort of. They've done a lot more good than they have done bad, so I'll take it.
They did catch a pedophile.
That's true. That's true.
They did take a pedophile off the streets.
They did. See?
Because of this case. So.
See? Good. Gotta take the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. They at least have it back now. They got it. But how the ISP and Carroll County detectives connected the dots to good old Dick is an unspent 40 caliber round.
You're connecting the dots to good old Dick.
Are we all trying to do that? Sorry, Eric.
Listen, I'm trying, okay?
Mine is Eric.
It's hard out here for a pimp, okay? I am not for the streets. Anyway, so there's an unspent 40 caliber round that was found less than 2 feet away from one of the bodies. It didn't tell me which. And that specific unspent round matched the gun that was found in Richard's home, the Sig Sauer P226.
So
it was an unspent round. So what I
was ejected.
Yes.
Which means it has striations on the casing. Yes.
Bingo. That ding, match ding, 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 his. Richard also told police on October 26th, 2 days before he was taken into custody, that he never allowed anyone to borrow the gun. When Richard was asked about the unspent round, he didn't have an explanation as to why or how the bullet got there. He told police that day that he was wearing jeans and a blue jacket or black Carhartt jacket on the day in question. And Richard's wife confirmed that he does, in fact, own a blue Carhartt jacket.
And
does this sound fucking familiar?
If you look at the photo, the guy looks like he has the same kind of goatee beard thing.
Yep.
But allegedly.
Allegedly. So I'm assuming the bullet had the matching striations to this Sig Sauer, and I'm assuming it was registered also, so they just clicked it together. On Tuesday.
Well, they would have to eject around to see the markings.
Yeah.
So they would have a ballistics investigator, like a guy who specializes in ballistics, take the gun, eject around, and see what the markings on that round are. And if they match, then there you go.
Well, that's how they matched old Dickie to the crime scene, was that that ejected unspent bullet from his Sig Sauer P226. On Tuesday, November 29th, 2022, Judge Francis Gull, who was presiding over the Delphi murders, ordered the probable cause affidavit to be unsealed. And that made me all tingly inside. He said, quote, "Public interest is not served by prohibiting access." I fucking agree with that. Good call, Judge Gull. Not all of it. I do want all of it. But I don't want it all right away. I just want to know. Just give me a little bit. Just give me a fix.
You're like a junkie, dude.
I am. I want to know what happened.
You're a crime junkie.
I literally am. So that was about the evidence in the murders of Abby and Libby, obviously. The only thing that's redacted in the eyewitness statements is the names. And that's fine with me. I'm fine with that. I don't need to know who they are. I just want to know what they said. I want to know what they saw.
Mama needs a little more of that true crime smack.
I did. Oh, my God. This PCA is 8 pages, and I highly recommend that if you are at all interested in this case, read it. It's so good. I paraphrased, like, pieces from 2 pages. So I don't even think it's a full page. So the PCA mentioned one of the girls said something about a gun as a man approached them, according to the video from Libby's phone. So one of the girls was like, oh shit, he's got a gun. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know a direct quote. The PCA had an eyewitness statement from February 13th, 2017, the day they went missing. The name was redacted, but they used the pronouns she. So I'm assuming it's a female. Don't come for me. Anyway, she said that, quote, the man was muddy and bloody. And also confirmed that the man that she saw walking around Route 300 North, I believe, was wearing a dark blue jacket and blue jeans. All muddied and bloodied. And if you recall, I believe it was the agent that said there's no way that this, whoever killed them, wouldn't have anything on their person or on their body or their clothes. So, anyway, this man was also, so this eyewitness was also another source for the inspiration of the 2017 sketch of the subject. I found out in later research after I wrote all these notes out that the initial sketch is a compilation of all of these eyewitness statements. So
it's a composite sketch.
Yes.
Okay. Then what was the second sketch?
I did not see any more clarification on the second sketch. When I read this PCA, that's where it was for the first sketch. So we're going to hear in the PCA mentions three locations. It has the Monon High Bridge. We all know her. It has the Freedom Bridge, which is 0.7 miles northwest of the northwest corner of the Monon High Bridge. So it's like that way. I'm pointing to my upper left, right? Yes. So if you're walking north on the Monon High Bridge, it's that way. And
I love how you're pointing like the fucking listeners can hear you.
That's they great. Can't hear me. They can't see me.
Yeah.
They know where Northwest is. If they're not, just look at a freaking compass. I don't know. So we're going to hear Monon High Bridge, the Freedom Bridge, and the Mears Farm, which is located on the north side of County Road 300 North near an entrance to the trails. So this is, so from where I'm going to quote is from the about like the bottom fourth of page 2 to about midway through page 3. Mm-hmm. So like 3/4 of a page, really, I think. Quote, interviews were conducted with three juveniles, redacted. They advised that they were on the Monon High Bridge Trail on February 13th, 2017. They advised they were walking on the trail toward Freedom Bridge to go home when they encountered a male walking from Freedom Bridge towards the Monon High Bridge. They mentioned it's redacted, so I'm assuming it's the name. I'm just going to say redacted where it says redacted. Redacted described the male as, quote, kind of creepy, and advised he was wearing, quote, like blue jeans, a like really light blue jacket, and his hair was gray, maybe a little brown, and he did not really show his face, end quote. She advised the jacket was a whatever duck canvas is. I'm not really sure what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
I'm assuming it's like the
water resistant canvas.
I don't know. Carhartt jacket.
Yeah.
Redacted advised she said hi to the male, but he just glared at them. Two of the three juveniles, I believe it was all girls because they never really mentioned anything other than she. They stated that they thought two of them stated that they thought he was wearing all black, but they did all agree on the fact that he was around 5'10". And one of the juveniles, the kids, said that she came approximately to the man's shoulder. So about my height. The girl is about my height. One of the kids said that his hands, the male's hands, were in his pockets.
Mm. There you go.
Sounds
so familiar. why not just up the ante and go for three? Like, why not kill those three?
Maybe they didn't tickle his fancy.
This was the day before, right?
This is the day of.
Oh.
This is February 13th. This is the day they went missing.
Okay.
We don't know if this is the day actually they were killed or not.
Yeah.
Because there's been no time of death ever released. Not yet, anyway. It goes on to say, redacted showed investigators photographs she took on her phone while she was on the trail that day. The photographs included a photo of the Monongahela Bridge taken at 12:43 p.m. and another one taken at 1:26 p.m. of the bench east of the Freedom Bridge. Redacted advised after she took the photo of the bench, they started walking back toward the Freedom Bridge. So I'm assuming that's about when they encountered the male walking on the Freedom Bridge towards the Monongahela Bridge. Allegedly bridge guy. They said that he was, quote, walking with a purpose, like he knew where he was going, end quote. Investigators spoke with what I can only assume is another eyewitness, because it doesn't really, it starts another paragraph. I'm assuming it's a different one. Every single name is redacted in this. This person saw four juvenile females walking on the bridge as she was passing under it to find a place to park. And this person stated that she was on the trails on February 13th, and there were no other cars parked near the entrance by the Mears farm when she arrived. She said that she started walking on the bridge, and she saw a man also walking on the bridge that matched the photo from Libby's phone. Could you imagine? She described him as wearing blue jeans and a blue jean jacket. She said that he was exactly 50 feet from her, standing on the first platform of the Monongahela Bridge. She was exactly halfway across the bridge when she saw two girls who she believed to be Abby and Libby. This eyewitness stated that she ended her walk around 2 p.m. and there was video surveillance confirming that she was in her car leaving the area at 1:49 p.m. that day. This is the eyewitness that spotted the car at the CPS building. So we're going to talk about the car for a second because it goes into more detail.
Okay.
She said that the car was parked in a, quote, odd manner, and it only stuck out to her because of the weird way it was parked. Another male eyewitness confirmed that he also saw a car parked in the CPS building parking lot, but he went a step further and gave us the model and color of the car. It is a purple PT Cruiser, or,
He did it. He did it.
That one.
He drives a PT Cruiser.
PT loser.
Yeah.
A loser. Or he said it could be the Chevy one that looks like a PT Cruiser, but it's not a PT Cruiser.
The HHR.
What? Yeah, sure. I don't know. That one.
It's the HHR.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. So he said it was backed into a parking space, maybe to avoid the license plate being seen. But the two eyewitnesses, the man and the woman, drew a diagram of the manner in which the car was parked, and they matched. So they both saw the same car parked the same way in the CPS building parking lot. There are pieces of information that have come out that I really don't know the exact time frame of, that, like, where they fall chronologically in this, but I'm going to talk about them here because I don't know where to put them. Photos of Richard and his family have come out, and one of them was a photo of his daughter posing in what could be the exact location where Abby and Libby were last seen. While we don't know when the photo was taken, Richard's wife posted it a year after the girls were murdered.
Interesting.
Mm. And I find this one to be disturbing and scary. This Ooh. Part right here. A photo was posted by Richard's wife. What was this photo, you ask?
It was of a clown.
No.
That would be disturbing and scary.
It for would you. Be, it, yeah. That you were you are correct, but I would argue this is scarier than a clown, in my eyes.
Porcelain doll.
Those I are, like them. I have porcelain dolls. I mean, they're packed away now.
You won't let me get any.
Those I find disturbing and scary.
Eric, just because your grandmother had an entire case full of them.
I don't have that had many.
To,
I
have, she no, had a room full of them.
Yes, and he had to sleep in that room when he was a child. That's why he doesn't like them.
Like any time I went to go visit.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And she had the crying children that were in the corner.
What?
You never seen this before?
Yeah, it's like a stuffed mannequin thing. It's like a little child. But it's
I've never liked those things.
They're fucking terrifying, especially at night.
Ew, so you many. Would like them. So anyway, about this photo. It's of Richard standing next to the police sketch, the first one, of the murderer and smiling.
What the fuck?
Why would he be smiling? Why is she taking his photo in front of it? There's a lot of things wrong with that.
It full body chills when I read that. I was like, what the fuck? He stood next to his own fucking police composite sketch and was like, hee hee hee. What the fuck?
Dude.
And it was posted online.
Yeah. She posted. I don't know if she posted on Facebook or Instagram or what, but she posted it online like, ha ha, it looks like my husband. Little do you know, bitch.
Allegedly.
I'm sure she's a nice lady. But, bitch, are you stupid?
There's no such thing as a coincidence.
True crime. I believe that. I believe that in general anyway. But, like, what? When I read that, I got the full ick.
Yeah, that's pretty foul.
Right? What the hell?
That's like a trophy.
I needed a moment. I like stopped reading the PCA for a little bit after I read that part.
See, I had to go walk away.
I had to get it off my phone. Air. I had to get it off my phone. I was like, what the fuck? Anyway, so another little tidbit of information that I didn't really know exactly where to put is the murder sheet interviewed a former classmate of Richard and asked her if the recording of the man saying, guys, down the hill, sounded like Richard's voice. And she said, quote, it was very close, end quote, and that it gave her chills. Richard Allen has entered a plea of not guilty.
Well, hold on. To that note, I mean, they tested Keenan Allen's voice and...
I think it was inconclusive at best.
Yeah.
They couldn't rule him out.
So...
But someone who's known Richard Allen...
I mean, you're looking at a 3-second snippet.
I'm sure they might have played more for her.
Possibly.
I'm not going to say yes or no because I don't know, but I'm assuming, I don't even think if someone's played a recording of you saying guys down the hill, I don't think I could pick out your voice in it.
Probably not.
Cause yeah. It's like a half a second of talking.
Yeah. So to that note, I'm like, that's anecdotal at best.
If they only played that half second snippet. But if they played it all, or at least 5 seconds of the man speaking.
Yeah, but I mean, this was a podcast interviewing somebody, correct?
Yeah, but I'm...
So, I doubt that they had anything more than what we have.
I mean, I don't know if this classmate was also interviewed by officials. I don't know.
I don't know. I doubt that... Supposedly, what? Only the family seen that video, the full 40-some seconds?
As of back in 2017. I don't know anything about it now.
Okay.
So
I'm going to say that's just... I would take that with a grain of salt. Honestly. Like...
I'll take it.
But like I'm not going to take it. 3-second snippet... is not enough to be like, yeah, that sounds like him after he's already been incarcerated.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't figure it out.
But anyway, Richard Allen has entered a plea of not guilty at his initial hearings, and the actual trial will begin in March of this year, which
since... If it doesn't get pushed back.
Right. But if it does start next month, y'all know exactly where I'm going to be. I'm going to be planted at a TV or at my computer. Hopefully I can find like not C-SPAN, but like the equivalent of a C-SPAN.
Court, you know, TV.
That. Richard is due in court February 17th. I think that court date also has gotten pushed back since I did. Yeah. For his bond hearing and pretrial hearing. The defense has requested a change of venue motion back in November of last year.
No shit. There's no way he could get tried there.
Literally get none.
A fair trial.
But since I wrote these, Judge Gull denied the request, but will bring in a jury from Allen County. But the trial will take place in Carroll County.
Well,
either. Okay.
That's
a hot take. Can I have a hot take for a second? Either they are so fucking sure that Richard Allen murdered Abby and Libby, or they are pulling a making a murderer on this guy and just making him fit the crime, being like, all right, well, we did our job.
That thought just popped into my head.
That happens a lot.
I know
that it's not going to be like that because they ruined it. Just allegedly.
Right. This is all alleged. Yeah, all alleged.
Don't sue us.
Yeah.
If you get off.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like a witch hunt if they
pull a Stephen Avery.
Yep. And they don't want to do that because it wouldn't give those girls justice. If it wasn't really him. If he really didn't do it.
Right.
And they're just trying to find, well, this guy looks fucked up enough that we'll just do him. He most definitely probably didn't solve crimes.
Exactly. But that thought did just pop into my head and I wanted to get it out.
No, I'm with you.
It happens way too many times where the wrong person is...
I don't know, dude.
See, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything.
The problem is...
I feel like somebody that didn't do it wouldn't just put in just, like, a plea to the courts to ask for, you know...
Well, he can't retain an attorney at all. Well,
there's one.
No one is taking him on.
There's one.
Rightfully so.
Number two, he is pleading not guilty... Which there's lots of narcissistic killers that do that, but I feel
the man stood next to his composite sketch and fucking smiled.
There's no confession.
I do have a thought.
I'm sure they put him through the fucking grinder for questioning.
I hope they put him feet first.
Well,
I hope that if it was him, I hope it is him. I do, for their sake. But if it's not, they just ruined an innocent man's life. That's the only thing that would make me. Yeah, worry about that.
The whole innocent.
They better be 100% sure that it was him.
Yeah.
They have to be. Because right after that, it's not going to be about those girls. It's about them ruining his life, and he's going to get a chance to sue all of those people for ruining his shit.
And it happens time and time again. It really honestly, does. Because... In America, it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then they put you up on a pedestal and make you confess that you're a duck, and apparently you're a duck now.
Yeah, I mean, we saw with Brendan Dassey and Stephen Avery.
I mean, fuck, you even saw that with Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Oh,
his fucking career was goddamn ruined.
They took him off of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
And the fucking Fantastic Beasts movies.
Yeah.
Because Warner Brothers had a contract with Amber Heard.
Alleged.
I will, if they try to produce a movie, a Pirates of the Caribbean movie or Fantastic Beasts without fucking Johnny Depp, I will not watch it.
Well, they did produce a Fantastic Beasts without Johnny Depp.
I mean, like, the one that he was going to be in or whatever.
Yeah, he's not going to do any movies with them anymore.
I don't blame him. Yeah. Fuck that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when you get drugged like that through the fucking mud, it's damaging permanently.
He can't. You have to move out of Indiana.
Yeah, I don't even think that would help him.
I don't think so either.
Because it wasn't him.
We're talking about him down here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So.
And this is a national case. I mean, yeah. This is big shit.
I mean, Crime Jackie talked about it, but she's from Indiana. So.
So, there you go.
But. Fuck. Anyway, I just want to talk about that hot take for a second because it popped in my head.
Yeah.
Because the fact that the judge refused to move it out of Carroll County and is bringing in another jury.
100%.
It could be they want to keep everything in house because it happened here. He's from here. But at the same time.
Well, they can't have a jury from there.
No.
It would not be fair.
No, I mean that.
I don't even know how fair it's going to be. They're from Allen County.
I don't know how far away Allen County is. I meant to look that up, but
shit happens.
Yeah. So moving on, Libby's mom, Carrie, told the U.S. Sun that she was taken by surprise, as was the rest of the town of Delphi, when Richard was arrested. She said, quote, "It's been extremely emotional. Of course, I'm excited and happy there's been an arrest, but he hasn't been proven guilty. It's all alleged. So it's not time to celebrate. It's all been rather triggering because it's bringing everything back. And in a sense, I'm reliving everything all over again. But it feels like we're now at the beginning of the last chapter. So I hope that's the case, but there's still a long road ahead of us." Carrie promises that she will be in court every single day of Richard's trial. She stated that she's looking forward to the moment she gets to look Richard in the eyes for the first time. This lady's a badass. So she says, quote, "I want nothing more than to look this person in the eye. So as terrified as I am by the thought of it all, I'm trying to prepare myself for that moment. But I don't believe there's going to be any closure, not until I'm no longer here and I'm back with Libby again. Closure is not really what I'm looking for anyway. I want peace, and I want peace for the girls. Those girls need justice so they can rest in peace. And I need that for them more than anything."
Well, they're going to pull her out of the courtroom when they start showing the photos of the bodies. And talking about the autopsies and shit like that. So
I think that's a 50-50 chance.
No, that will happen.
If she doesn't know about it.
Okay.
But if she already knows.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
So I have somebody I know whose daughter was murdered in Texas. And she has to go to that murder trial coming up. And they told her, like, the DA fucking straight up told her, "You will be asked to leave the courtroom when we start talking about certain things."
Asked or told?
Basically told. You will not be permitted to be in there for that because it's going to be very traumatic.
I feel like...
And that was just like... Yeah.
So, a regular murder?
I know. I mean, not in that sense, but like this is hardcore shit from what it sounds like.
So you asked how far Carroll County is from Allen County. Carroll County would be middle of the state, and Allen County is more north east, probably like a good 200 miles.
Okay, so they did honor at least bringing a jury.
It's like way, way, way away.
Because the defense team, which I'm assuming he has retained legal counsel because it's his defense team, by the way.
I mean, it's got to be a public defense.
Yeah.
How would you like to be assigned to that shit?
I don't even know because don't public defenders, they're not like, they're paid by the state, right?
Yeah.
There is not enough money in the fucking world for me to represent the Delphi murderer. Not enough fucking money in the world.
Allegedly.
Alleged Delphi murderer.
Alleged.
Alleged bridge guy. Bridge guy.
But even still, with Richard in custody, we still don't know how the girls died. When they died, in the manner, any, literally nothing.
Well, it's all going to come out.
I morbidly cannot wait.
That's okay.
As somebody who used to, like, Google dead people photos, like, when I was a kid.
Yeah, what was that website you used?
Rotten.com or Ogreish. Ogreish was a good one.
I never...
LiveLeak had some good stuff. LiveLeak had all sorts of wild shit. But you can see stuff like that on Instagram now.
I mean, they let us post crime scene photos that I definitely thought were going to be taken down.
I don't post the crime scene photos to Facebook, but because Facebook's algorithm will auto take it down. But if you post warning graphic content, it puts like a...
Like a little thing?
Yeah. Like a thing.
Like a C photo or whatever? Yeah. Okay.
So if you put that in the caption, that's how I'm getting away with it. Because the JonBenet shit that I posted was
intense. I'm shocked.
But if I post anything about a serial killer, it flags the account and pulls it down for glorifying a murderer or some crazy shit.
We're a true crime podcast. We're not glorifying a serial killer.
Yeah.
I get there are people that do.
They pulled down a photo of a 9-year-old Richard Ramirez.
I still can't believe that. That is so dumb.
Like, dude, our account almost got banned because of the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff. And it wasn't the crime scene photos. It was just photos of Dahmer. Or if you mentioned Dahmer, it like...
Well, I think... And honestly, I don't know how so many people have gone so long not knowing who freaking Jeffrey Dahmer was.
It's all Gen Zers, dude. They weren't around back then. Or,
I mean, yeah, but...
Or didn't have morbid curiosity.
I don't know. I knew all the notorious ones.
I got a big book of serial killers that we pull shit from. So, but I guess that's the Delphi case, Sam?
Yep, that's it.
All right, that's it. That's it.
Guys, for now.
Thank you for listening to our series on the Delphi murders. I hope you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a whole lot of info out there, but...
At the same time, there was a whole lot.
At the same time, there was a good amount. But next week, we are going back to outer space.
Can't wait.
Sam can't wait.
It can't be any worse than the alien fucker.
No, it's...
He was alien.
Well, I don't know. I think it could be a lot worse. We're talking Project Bluebeam.
I don't find that to be any worse than... The dude who fucked aliens.
Let me put it this way. Project Bluebeam, if it happens, would be very bad for us. Not, you know, somebody getting fucked by aliens.
I think I'd rather talk about Project Bluebeam than the guy who fucks aliens.
Well, don't worry, because we're going to do another episode in the future. I don't know when. It won't be this year, but...
He's got one in the bag.
Intergalactic Intercourse 2. Will be a thing.
There's a second one?
I found 55 cases of people who have been sexually assaulted by aliens and went on record and talked about it. So we got a large well of alien rape.
Yay.
Yay.
You're not releasing this to start drinking again, right?
Yeah, well, it won't be this year. Oh. I think we might do one a year, maybe.
No. That's good.
51 a year?
No, I mean, like three. We'll do three in an episode. I feel like that's fair.
I'm going to need a drink for that episode.
Oh, that was fun. What are you talking about?
Talking about it was fine, but watching that fucking documentary, are you...
Well, the documentary was batshit insane.
I have no words for that documentary.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to Intergalactic Intercourse, 50 Shades of Grey's.
Shut up. Can I do my duty?
Yeah, drop your socials.
Where are you guys at with the reviews? We miss them. They make us happy. So if you want to continue making us happy, we'd greatly appreciate it if you guys would leave the show a rating. Please. Thank you. Forehead kisses all day long.
Forehead kisses.
Make sure you guys are downloading, liking, sharing, everything. Follow us on Instagram if you're a new listener. We love you. Thank you for listening. We don't give enough love to the new people because we do get new people. So we do appreciate you guys following along. And you got a lot to catch up on.
And if you listen to us on Spotify, share us to your Instagram story and tag us.
Yes. We love that.
And I will share your post on our story. And you say something nice about us.
Yes.
When you share it.
Yeah. Be nice.
We only accept nice. No, we will accept both, but
I don't.
I like to hear nice.
I talk back, so.
It's
this one over here has got an attitude.
Yep.
It's but like we love you guys.
Like a chihuahua.
I'll show you what a chihuahua I am.
Oh, shit.
We love you guys. Well,
I'm in trouble.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next Friday. Thank you again for listening, and have a great week.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.